afternoon, I want to present to you in a different conundrum, in a different ideology, in a different platform, in a different place. I'm preaching on a title and on a topic or a theme entitled A Secret Weapon. A Secret Weapon. A Secret Weapon. I'm talking to you about a secret weapon this afternoon. Talking to you about a secret weapon. Of course, the scripture of the day is Psalm 100. So if your Bible is closer to you, I want you to flip up your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 100, Psalm of David 100. I remember very well when I got born again, I was so broke, I couldn't afford the Bible. I stole Bible from the church. So whenever I am preaching and it's a time to pick up a Bible, I am not ashamed to confess. So please pick up your Bible if you did not steal your Bible like I did. Just flip up your Bible. Let's go to Psalm 100. Please flip up your Bible. Let's go to Psalm 100. Flip up your Bibles. And I want us all to read together Psalm 100. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, enter unto his gates with thanksgiving, and unto his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forevermore. Hallelujah, people of God. But of course, my emphasis or my anchor scripture is going to be on the verse number 1. It's just going to be on the verse number 1. Somebody said, please, I can't hear you. Let me increase my microphone. I hope it's better now. Hallelujah. I hope my microphone is better now. We thank God. Oh, yes. I hope everybody can hear my voice. If you can hear my voice, just give me a thumbs up so I know my microphone is all right. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. And so I'm preaching on a topic or a title, A Secret Weapon, preaching on a secret weapon this afternoon. Of course, one of the difficulties in understanding scripture, especially when it comes to the book of Psalms, is one of the most difficult things to understand or difficult place to introduce or to digest if you are a preacher. And sometimes we rattle it, sometimes we can memorize it and we preach it as if it's nobody's business. But when it comes to actually breaking it down or exegizing it, it is quite one of the difficult things to devise because of the way it is written and the manner of which it is written. And without being theological, I'll try to pick up two examples of why I said that for first and foremost, to understand the Psalms, you need to understand what theology will say symmetric parallelism or Hebrew poetry. And when we talk about Hebrew poetry, we are talking about the fact that the Psalms were written in a form of a poem. And so to be able to understand Hebrew symmetrics, you need to understand, you need to digest, you need to go deeper to understand where it was written, why it was written, the environment as it pertained to when these Psalms were written. And so one of the Psalms we have before us is Psalm 100. And David will start the Psalm to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Of course, it is quite difficult to understand the premise of where David was writing from. On second point also, we didn't actually know what was the problem on the ground. We didn't know why David will write this very Psalm. For example, if I'm talking about Psalm number 23, I can give you the genesis and the background of Psalm 24, where David was very old, very advanced in age, having seen battles, having seen the Lord shown up for himself, and having seen God did all that is done for him in terms of battle, in terms of victory, in terms of bringing things around. And so, of course, we understood. And that is why David could come back to say that, yes, the Lord indeed did set up a table right before me in the presence of my enemies. Because the premise was that he was meant to go and learn kingship in the land or in the house of the same guy who was looking to kill him. He was meant to go and learn kingship in the house of Saul. And so when David came back to say he set up a table before me in the presence of my enemies, it is a direct quotation of the fact that he needed to learn kingship in the same house they were looking to kill him. And so that is why we talk about symmetric parallelism when it comes to understanding Hebrew poetry, understanding the Psalms, because you might go deeper. Another example is the fact that the Bible said, David said the other day, he said that our fathers did not get the land by their arm or by their strength, but it was the hand of the Lord, it was the arm of the Lord, and it was the face of his countenance. The first question you ask yourself, according to John, was that when Jesus met the woman on the well side and they were having the conversation, Jesus said to the woman, now is and the hour has come that the true worshippers must worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Lord is a spirit. So Jesus talking about God being a spirit, how then will God being a spirit have an arm, have a face, have a gesture, and have all these attributes that the Bible was talking about? That is where we understand how deep or how serious being able to interpret Psalms comes into. So we understand here that the Psalms is not only talking about things they have seen, but they are talking about what the English teacher, like Reverend Dr. Wahin, taught me, of course, will come into what we call idiomatic expression, expressing God's benevolence, his power in a different dimension, in a different dimension. Are you with me, somebody? So David will start off by saying that, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When he talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, he's not just talking about praising God. He's not just talking about elevating God. He's not just talking about empowering God. He's not just talking about blessing the name of the Lord. Because when God knew that we needed to worship him, the Bible said he had created an angelic host. It was John who saw in Revelation, when he saw that the angelic host in heaven had only two responsibilities in heaven. Number one, either they are sent on errands or mission, or number two, all they do is sit up in heaven and bless the name of the living God. That was where he saw the 24 thrones. He saw the angelic hosts. He saw the cherubims and the seraphim. He saw the angels that had all the instruments in the world singing praises unto the world, unto the Lord. So when it comes to praising God, it is not just lifting up your voice to praise him, because if you are not doing it, he himself could create the empire or could create the environment to get the praise out of him. And that is why the other day, when the Pharisees said to Jesus, tell your disciples to keep quiet and tell your followers to keep quiet, when he entered into Jerusalem, he made a profound statement. He said, even if they keep quiet, the Lord has the power and the capability and the ability to raise stones to praise his name up. So coming to praise, it is not a problem for God. But when David talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord, this is what a preacher would say, shaking the equilibrium. He was now diverting our attention to the fact that praise or thanksgiving unto the Most High God is a secret weapon. Are you with me, somebody? It's a secret weapon. Because when David decided to fight Goliath, when David decided to engage Goliath, Bible said that the king gave him the most profound armory in the whole world, the most profound uniform for battle. Bible said the king brought all his battle robe, put it on him, and the Bible said it was too heavy on him because he was only 16 and a half years, 10, 17 years. His biceps was very minimal. His energy level was very scanty, and the guy has been living in the bush, hasn't been having any good meal to eat. He's been eating grasses and eating ugly food in the bush. So he was thin and slim, didn't have any composure at all, so he could not even carry the king's weapon. But when he went on the battlefield, the history of the victory that comes with this scripture wasn't because he went up with five stones. What happened was that Goliath made a mistake, and David captured the mistake and turned it into a victory. I'm still coming back on my emphasis, because when Goliath saw David, he said that, am I a dog that you bring this small dog right before me to do battle? And of course, just as you know, we know that the whole body of Goliath was covered. But the mistake Goliath made was that he turned the battle from spiritual, he turned the battle from physical into spiritual. He made a declaration and said that, yes, he cursed David with his God. I wish he would have just come forward and fought David. The mistake he made was he cursed David with his God, and David took the opportunity and advantage, and he said, oh, you made a mistake. You should have fought me man to man. You would have empowered me. But if you are changing the battle from physical to spiritual, then I have a secret weapon. And David said, thou come against me with all this energy, with all your gods and your spears and your javelins and your armory. But I come before you in the name of the army of hosts. Listen to the name of the army of hosts. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower and a repelling tower. The righteous come unto it and they are saved. This is a secret weapon. So when David is talking about make a joyful noise unto the Lord, he's not just talking about blessing the name of the Lord, because in Psalm 22, and the verse number 7, the Bible said the Lord inhabit in the praise of his people. God must descend to come and get the fragrance of the praise of his people. And when God is descending down to get the praise of his people, John chapter number 1, the Bible said the light shines and darkness could not comprehend it. So you could be in a darkness, you could be in prison, you could be born somewhere, the enemy would have laid a filthy hand on you. But when your praises is going out, the scripture is that the Lord must come down to inhabit in his praise. And when he decides to come down, because it's like every darkness must disappear. I declare over somebody under the sound of my voice, any darkness that has surrounded you, being sickness, being death, being condition, being limitation, as you lift up your voice this afternoon, we declare, may the Lord come down to inhabit, to reside in the praise of his people, and may every darkness in your life disappear. Even in the name of Jesus, I want you to shout your bigger amen. Hallelujah, somebody. And so I will be talking about
amen.
So it is a weapon strategy. It is a weapon, a secret weapon that Goliath didn't know. If Goliath had decided to fight David, the battle would have been ended and Israel would have lost. But when he changed the battle strategy, God took over the battle. Yes, and so whenever David talks about praising the name of the Lord or making a joyful noise, number one, he was referring to the book of Joshua chapter number 6, when the Bible said that they had come into a very high limitation in the eastern of Jericho. Bible said that the city was fortified from bottom to top, from the bottom to top, so nobody could go inside. But the problem is that they needed to pass through Jericho into the promised land. So they were being impeded, they were being hindered by the fact that the walls of Jericho has stood on their way. Listen to me. They didn't just take the walls of Jericho because they didn't love the people of Jericho, but it was simply because the walls of Jericho stood on their way, and that mountain needed to be removed.
Yes.
The Bible said that the Lord spoke to Joshua and told Joshua what to do, and told them, instead of going around it, make sure you go around the city. The Bible said they have gone around the city for the sixth time. On the seventh time, the Bible said, then suddenly Joshua saw a very giant something standing right there with feathers all around about him. So when he went closer to him, he asked him, are you for us or are you against us? And he said, I am not for you nor for your enemies, but I am on errand. And the Bible said, on the seventh time, when they shouted out of the scream of their voices with all the hypes, with all the praise, and with all the thanksgiving, suddenly the angel lifted up the sword and the walls of Jericho came down. So when David is talking about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, he's talking about having a secret weapon where when you lift up your voice to bless the name of the Lord, an angel in the capacity of the one that was sent to bring down the walls of Jericho is released from the atmosphere to come down and do warfare on your behalf.
I give
again, any battle you are fighting, may the angel that brought the walls of Jericho be on your side this afternoon, even in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So when David is talking about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, he's talking about Second Chronicles chapter number 20. The Bible said that it was Jehoshaphat who had received a letter to mean that five nations has come together. There was a peace treaty within five nations to bring him down. Number one, he took inventory of his army and realized that he could not overpower five nations. Number two, he took inventory of his armies and arsenals, and he realized that he didn't have what it takes to bring down five nations. Number three, he looked at the size of his city and knew that they can empower the city in a flash. Now, this is what the man of God did. The Bible said that he lifted up a prayer before the Most High God, and he said to God that, listen, when our fathers came here, they wanted to annihilate this generation, and you said they should leave them there. Is the battle my battle, or is it your battle? Suddenly, the Bible said, when God realized that it was his limitation that had brought this burden, God said, okay, I take the battle upon my shoulder. That wasn't the case. But when you read the verse number 20 down, it was very simple for Jehoshaphat to have said, okay, the Lord said the battle is his battle, so let us go with this minimal army like Gideon did. But he changed the battle strategy. He told all the musicians to go right before of the army. And when the Bible said, anytime they sang hallelujah, they clapped their hands, enemy falls. Anytime they shouted unto the Lord, an enemy falls. Anytime they sang hallelujah, an enemy falls.
Amen.
So when the enemy came, there was no enemy standing at all.
Their
shout and their praise was a secret weapon. I declare from today onwards, may anytime you lift up a secret weapon unto the Lord, may anytime you bring a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, anytime you lift up your voice to bless the name of the Lord, may it be a secret weapon against your enemies.
Amen.
Limitation down.
Amen.
That stands your way down.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
One of the attributes of God is that he's always looking for a public declaration of his sovereignty. He is looking for a public declaration of his sovereignty. How did I see that? Somebody will say, man of God, how so? It comes in when the Bible said that when Jesus saw blind Bartimaeus on the roadside, and the Bible said that the guy was blind from his infancy. And when Jesus was going past him, the disciples asked him, Father, something is a teacher. Something is not right here. Can we do a SWOT analysis? What at all is happening to this boy. And Jesus said that it's not the sin of his mother, it's not the sin of his father, but is that the glory of the Lord might be made manifested. Sometimes God just wants to get the accolades over his shoulders. Sometimes he wants the world to know that I am all by myself. That is why Psalm 24, the verse number one, we say, the earth is the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That reside upon the face of the earth, because he's looking for the accolades. In Daniel chapter number 4 and the verse number 17, the Bible said, this decree is by the waters, and it is sent by the Holy One, that the men that reside on the planet earth will know that God reigns in the kingdom of men. It came in a system, because when the Bible said that they had brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had put them in the fire, the mistake and the book Nebuchadnezzar did was he should have found a new strategy of annihilating these people, but he decided that I am going to kill them by fire, because that is the way I will humiliate them. That is the way I will bring them down. That is the way I will spell out my power out of the world. But what he didn't know is that there's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords. And what he also didn't understand is that Bible said when he had put these guys in the fire, suddenly he saw another person walking in the fire, because another name of the Most High God is the Lord that answered by fire. So when you want to bring a disciple and a believer down, you don't put him in the fire, because when you put him in the fire, the Lord that answered by fire shall show himself strong. I declare over your life, may every fire they put you through, may another person in the form of God reside in the place, because he answered by Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Move on quickly to my next one, because of the proximity of time. When we are talking about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, it is a sound or a time that struggle is over. It's a sound and a time the struggle is over, because we cannot be having a party when the enemy is on our neck. We cannot be drinking and eating when the enemy is on our neck. So when he declared, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, it means that it is a time of that, the fact that struggle is over. How so do I mean? Two scriptures. Number one, according to Acts chapter number, according to John chapter number 6 and the verse number 20, John chapter number 6 and the verse number 20, the Bible said that it was a time of transition. It was a time to show that all was over and struggle was over. Secondly, I have just quoted 1 Chronicles chapter number 20. It was a time of victory, because they have now changed, they have now won the battle. And so when they came back and they brought back all the spoil, it was time to glorify the name of the Lord. And so they were partying so that everybody would know that the Lord has been with them. The Lord has been with them. It's a time to show that struggle is over, because in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 16 and the verse number 25, the Bible said Paul and Silas was put in prison. They were put in prison. And in the prison yard, they shout on top of their voice and gave praise unto the Most High God. When I started my introduction, I said that sometimes to understand what is written in the book of Psalms, we need to understand what was going on in the mindset of the people that wrote it, because they didn't just wrote by inspiration of the Most High God, but they also wrote out of experience and out of what they were experiencing in their life. So it was very negative for somebody who was in prison, somebody who has been in prison for no apparent reason, to sing praises unto the Most High God. But the Bible said at midnight, they lift up praise and worship before the great throne of God on top of their sound, making melody unto the Lord. It was a joyful noise. And the Bible said the Lord needed to come back and reside in the habit of his praise, as Psalm 22 has said. Now, when God is coming into a small place where he needed an experience to listen to the worship of Paul and Silas, because on analysis, if we are working the scripture very well, I am not sure Paul had a very good voice, because he was an old man. I am not sure Paul had a very good voice because Bible hasn't told us Paul was a singer. I am not sure of Silas because the faith of Paul might be different from the faith of Silas. I am sure Silas didn't even want to sing, but because Paul was singing, if Paul is singing, let me also join him. Iron sharpens iron, to bring our shame and to bring our sorrow down. But the Bible said the Lord needed to come down to reside in the praise of his people. And when he was coming, the prison walls must break because they cannot withhold the Lord. They cannot withhold the Lord. Listen to me. Any prison wall we find ourselves, this prison wall can be coronavirus. This prison wall can be COVID-19. This prison wall can be infection. This prison wall can be fear. This prison wall can be some that limits you, but when your praise go up, the blessings must come down.
Amen.
The blessing coming down, it is because the Lord must come down to reside in the praise of his people. And when the Lord is coming, he does not come alone. I have never seen an American president travel alone. It is not possible. It is against the judicial right of the American people for the American president to travel alone. Before he even fly to a country he doesn't reside, they would have sent an intelligence on the ground to make sure that they smooth the place and make sure that there is no criminal activities that would take the man's life away. And we are talking about an American president. But when it comes to God, and God must come down to inhabit in the praise of his people, angels must go before him.
Amen.
And make the crooked way straight. And make sure that when God is coming to take his glory, nobody will be able to have the ability to impede it. I declare over your life this afternoon, anytime you lift up your song in the bathroom, may an angelic host break the prison wall of you. Anytime you lift your worship in your kitchen, may an angelic host break the walls of limitation. Anytime you lift up worship in your car, may every wall of limitation be broken, even in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May the things you didn't even know has bounded you, may it be broken even in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to shout your bigger amen.
Amen. Amen.
Anytime we declare a joyful noise in the city where everybody is singing the same tune, it is a time of deliverance. It is a time of deliverance. It is a time of deliverance because the Bible said that it was the people of Israel that stood at the threshold of the Red Sea. They could physically hear from the ground, the way the ground was shaking, that the Pharaoh and his entourage and his army were coming so fast, so vicious against them. The fear was that they did not even have a single armory or arsenal. They did not even have a single rifle or a weapon. They did not even have a single AK-47 or a javelin, because for 400 years they have been in slavery and they don't even have the money to acquire weapons. And where were they going to make it? And they didn't even know their army, their enemy was going to come furious at them. Bible said they can physically hear them coming. And so they were panicking, they were afraid. Even Moses the visionary himself became very afraid, to a point that the Bible said he knelt down in the presence of the people and lifted up his hands and said, "Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, for whence cometh my help?" And whilst he was praying, the Lord said to him, "Why do you cry, see me? Because I had already commissioned in your hand the weapon to do warfare." Bible says suddenly the Red Sea parted and they went onto the other side. And when they had finally landed on the other side, the Lord waited until their enemy came in the middle of the sea. And then he closed the sea and made sure they did not survive. Suddenly the Bible said, and the woman created song and sang unto the Lord and said, "For the Egyptian you saw yesterday, you shall see them no more. Anytime a psalm is talking about making a joyful noise, we are talking about an atmosphere where there is praise, there's tranquility, there's peace, there's time for celebration, and there's time for joy. I declare over your life, may the Lord deliver your life from Amen. The realms of the enemy. May Amen. The Lord deliver you and your family. May the Lord Amen. Deliver your children.
In
may
Jesus'
the Lord
name.
Deliver everything Amen. That concerns your life. May the Lord Amen. Deliver you from that edge. May the Lord deliver you from anything that the family has placed you under, even Amen. In Jesus' mighty Amen. Name. Shout a bigger Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Finally, when we are talking about making a joyful noise, we are talking about a sound of transformation. We are talking about a sound of transformation. I hear a sound ringing in my bell right now, like a school bell. I hear it ringing very much in my ear as I talk to you now prophetically. I can hear it. And this is what the Lord is saying to me. As children are in school, and when they break up for break and they are on the playground, suddenly they will ring up the bell. And they will ring it so loud that the children, every corner they are, will hear that it is a time for change. It's a time of transition. It's a time to go back into the classroom. And it's a time to come out of the classroom. It's a time to tell them that the service or the study time is over. I can still hear that bell ringing in my ear because the Lord is saying to me, it's a time of change, it's a time of transition, it's a time of change in our life. I can still hear the bell because anytime there's a celebration and there's a ring of bell, it's a time to indicate that the Lord is about to do something new. How do I say so? In the book of Luke chapter number 19 and the verse number 34 coming down, the Bible said, if you read from verse number 20 coming down, the Bible said, at that fateful day, Jesus said unto the disciples, go into that village, you will see a donkey tired. Go and lose the donkey. And when the owner asks of you, what do you want my donkey for? Tell him, the Lord needs the donkey for a testimony. The Bible said, when they had brought the donkey, they entered into Jerusalem. And when he entered into Jerusalem, the Bible said his disciples threw their clothes and palm trees on the floor. And they scream, hallelujah, thou comest the King of glory. Thou comest the one who was and who is to come. The analysis, and if you are somebody that argues scripture like I do, the question of who assembled them? Who brought this crowd together? Who had already told them? Who had already said to them that Jesus was coming? And who had already planned that this is a time of party for Jesus? It was because it was about time Jesus needed to do with the old era and for the new era to come into existence. I declare in your life that the old era has passed and now we are in a time of a new era. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible Amen. Said that my enemy Amen. Do not Amen. Think and do not laugh at me. For when I fall, the Lord shall lift me. And when I live in darkness, the Lord shall turn my light and the Lord shall turn my captivity, because the old shall pass and the new shall come. I hear in my ear when the Lord said, eyes have not seen, neither has he entered into the heart of men what the Lord has got in store for you. Listen to me, somebody. We are in an era of coronavirus where we are in a time of uncertainty, a time of unprediction, a time of not knowing what to go off and what to come from. But the Lord sent me to come and tell somebody it is a time of transition. It is a time of festivity. It's Amen. A time of breakthrough. It's Amen. A time of celebration. It's Amen. A time of taking what the enemy has taken away from you. If Amen. You believe it, receive it in your atmosphere. Even
Amen.
In Jesus,
Amen.
Receive it in your
Amen.
Atmosphere. Even in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Finally, I'm closing for the final time. Bible said when David returned from battle and realized that Ziklag was burned to ashes, nothing was there to be taken. There was nothing in for them. Bible said the two wives of David were taken away. And everybody was gone. Their kids were gone. Their money was gone. Their businesses were gone. Their factories were gone. Their shops were gone. Their offices were gone. Their money were gone. Their savings were gone. Their wives were gone. A bit more like what we face currently. In the era of David, it was the Ziklag that was burned. In our era, it is businesses collapsing. It is jobs reduction. It is people losing their job. It's church being closed, prayer time being shattered, and nobody can predict what the future holds for anybody. But the Bible said, whilst they were still crying, David find the comfort in the Lord because he had already known that God has done it before. Anything the Lord has done before, he will do it again. It was one philosopher that said that anything that has been done before, it is very easy to do it the second time. And anything God can do, he can do it the second time. Even though we understand the fact that the Bible said with him all things are possible, but if he has done something before, he has the capability and capacity to do it for the second time. So David was relaxed. But the Bible said when they got into the enemy's camp, they were feasting, they were marrying, but it was a time of transition. The Lord sent me to come and tell somebody the enemy is feasting, but it's a time for you to take what he has taken from you and change the feasting time into your own feasting ideology, even in the name of Jesus. It's a time of celebration, and I hear the sound of a trumpet. I hear the sound of a victory. I hear the sound of jubilation. I hear the sound of change. I hear the sound of transition. I hear the sound of breakthrough. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. I want to exalt him. Baker, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
So summing up my message this afternoon, as we have all gathered together in this August occasion, it was not a coincidence that the theme was that make a joyful noise unto the Lord. For the next 5 minutes, we are going to be screaming on top of our voice. If you are in your office, let them push you out of the office. If you are in a bus, let them tell you your mind is gone crazy. If you are in your house, let your children know that something is wrong with you. If you are wherever you are, we are just going to make a sound of victory, a sound of declaration, a sound of change, a sound of transition, because we must shout on top of our voice for the angel that will lift up the sword to bring this mountain down to reside in our entourage and to make sure that victory is ours. Lift up your voice wherever you are as we scream the sound of victory, as we scream the sound of breakthrough.